For broadcasting or advertising opportunities, call 1-888-303-3884 or visit wildfireradio.com and click on Contacts.
Hey, this is Big Daddy Graham, and you're listening to Wildfire Radio at wildfireradio.com.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to another episode of the Straight Shooters Podcast here on Wildfire Radio, where we talk about the latest and greatest in the world of professional wrestling. My name, of course, is Vaughn Johnson of Philly.com. And as always, I am joined by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick McCone of Philly Voice and PhillyInfluencer.com. Nick, how are you feeling tonight, my man?
I'm doing great. And by the way, that's one of my favorite theme songs right now in wrestling.
You just get
right
pumped now. When you hear
I
that,
get
right?
Pumped. I get pumped. You saw me headbanging.
But people like of my ilk, as African Americans, we don't headbang too much. But I get down sometimes. You know, yeah. I rock with Seth Rollins, but we have a packed show tonight. We're going to talk about some WWE SummerSlam, of course, coming up. And as of tonight, 10 days from now. Yes.
We can do math this week.
Yes, we can.
We did that.
We got a special guest coming up in about, say, 8-9 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. Former WWE creative writer Andrew Goldstein coming up in a few minutes. We also going to talk about, what else we got here? We got Triple Mania talk. That was the disaster that was and down in Mexico. Unfortunate disaster.
That's a compliment, honestly. call it a disaster. But
and you're 100% absolutely. Right. And we'll talk about, you know, everything else going on in the world of wrestling, including TNA, Ring of Honor, NXT, everything else. So let's jump right into our thoughts about WWE SummerSlam. This past Monday's Raw wasn't a lot of build toward Brock and Taker for size. A pretty good video package, but
yeah, they do video packages way better than, you know, any wrestling organization. Maybe even better than TV production.
Yeah, they do a lot.
Organization.
They do it. Among the best in the entertainment industry overall, WWE is right up there with anybody. So, other than that, really wasn't really anything much else to say about Brock and Taker. They neither guy was in the building. They will be in the building though. This coming Monday.
Yep. Go home show to SummerSlam. So right. They're building it as face to face. I think.
Right.
So
same ring, maybe, same building, same time, same time continuum in space.
Absolutely. Same brawl maybe that we saw a couple of weeks ago, but. I don't think we need another brawl. Just that visual of having them face to face. It kind of reminds me the week before WrestleMania when Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns were face to face.
I hated that though.
Oh my God, I hated that too.
They did the tug of war.
I don't. Maybe they'll do another tug of war. I don't know.
What they tug of war with Paul Heyman.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. I think you might have to have another, not like a huge brawl like you did weeks ago, but like some physical interaction because you just the heat here is that. They can't stand to even be in the same room. Like as soon as they see each other, it's on.
And
so that's you can't have them standing in the ring and looking at each other like, "Hey, I'm going to talk to you for a couple minutes. You got to hear what I have to say." Absolutely. No, as soon as they see each other on site, boom, it's on.
Absolutely. And you have like I'm thinking maybe Triple H because he wanted to separate them when they brawled.
He takes extra precaution.
Yeah, he has the roster come out and maybe the main event segment. Who knows? Maybe in the beginning of Raw and just have them. You know, the Undertaker appears in the ring. They do that magic stuff with him, and then Brock Lesnar's up on the stage, and the roster actually holds them back. Maybe they don't get into a brawl, but they try to. Just a visual of that, I think that would be a good way to go into SummerSlam. So,
well, the one storyline or a feud sort of that we did get some development on was the Seth Rollins John Cena match, which has not been made official yet. Let's just make that clear. It has not been made official, but. The challenge still remains that Seth Rollins wants John Cena at SummerSlam in a title-for-title match. We had Seth Rollins have another WWE Championship match against Randy Orton, who earned that match by way of a great triple threat match victory over Kevin Owens.
That was a great match, but...
And Cesaro.
I know Cesaro and Owens are now officially booked to go one-on-one at SummerSlam, but...
Spoilers, they're going to face each other. it's going to get announced on SmackDown, so...
That's... Two in a row.
Yeah.
two in a row SmackDown spoilers.
Who cares?
I think that, you know, Owens and Cesaro, it would have been better, I think, a better match. I know Orton and Rollins have good chemistry. They have good matches together.
Yeah, but we've seen it like 100,000 times.
Yeah, and WWE kind of booked themselves into a situation where it makes sense if Cena can't go on Sunday.
You with the whole cash-in thing.
Yeah, so they had left that open-ended, you know, like maybe Rollins will face Orton or Sheamus or both if Cena can't go.
That cash-in was brutal, though. Because it's like they were waiting for Orton to get up and do something, and he just didn't get up in time.
I saw people blaming the ref, and you can't blame him in that situation. You know, he's just doing, like, he has the visual, so he's waiting for Orton to come into the ring.
He knows what's going to happen. He can't go down and cash in if he knows that Orton's going to come up and thwart it anyway.
And, you know, he's waiting for Orton. You see him, like, keep moving his head, like, trying to look past Sheamus. And Sheamus, obviously, has given him the briefcase, and he's not letting go of it. So it was just a terrible visual, I think, of the trying to cash in. And then, you know, obviously we knew Orton was going to come in because of, first of all, the amount of time it took for the cash in, which didn't even happen. But the fact that the referee wasn't grabbing it from Sheamus, Sheamus wouldn't let go from the briefcase. So, I mean, we knew it wasn't going to happen. It was a good surprise maybe for the people in attendance. They're like, oh my God, we're going to see a cash in. But, you know, we have...
Well, we have our special guest is calling in right now.
We have Andrew Goldstein with us.
Are you there, Andrew?
Hey, what's up, guys?
My man.
This is TV writer and producer and comedian and a former WWE creative writer, Andrew Goldstein. How we doing, bud?
Congratulations on the show.
Thanks.
Appreciate it, man. We want to be like you, man. We want to be like an entertainment conglomerate that is Andrew Goldstein right now.
Things are good, man. I'm writing and producing a new show on MTV2 Friday night, 11 o'clock, called Uncommon Sense with Charlamagne, who's a super funny radio personality here in New York.
So Charlamagne the God.
It's going good. I'm flexing my hip-hop muscles.
Those are some big muscles, by the way, I got to admit.
They're huge. They're 24-inch pythons of hip-hop knowledge.
Absolutely.
Well, as we mentioned in your spectacular intro, that you are a former WWE creative writer, so you have experience with building up to big shows such as SummerSlam. So we're going to go through kind of the big angles here and kind of pick your brain as how you would kind of have it play out, how you would kind of book it. Is that cool?
Totally cool. Though I will tell you, disclaimer: I'm a terrible fantasy booker, but let's do it. That's why I got fired.
You're as bad as anybody else.
That's why Michael P.S. Hayes fired me.
You were there, so you got a lot further than a lot of other people. So, all right, we were just talking about it a couple minutes ago. Lesnar Taker, obviously, is the main event. It's what they want to be the main attraction for SummerSlam. This is an odd circumstance to me. I don't see how you really go about this and not upset somebody, because somebody has to lose this match. So how would you go about this, Andrew?
I have trouble with this one because how do you book this finish, man? It's like two guys that can't lose. Like, you can't beat Brock. And how are you going to beat Taker twice? I think this match ends in some kind of chicanery, in some kind of schmoz, as they say in the business. I think the fact that Kane's been off TV, I think he could show up. I think... Look, Heyman name dropped Kane in the promo 2 weeks ago, so I think we could see a little Kane action, which I would not be happy about because I'm on record as saying I'm done with Kane, I'm done with the Big Show.
But, not the only one.
Yeah, exactly. You're not alone.
I think there could be lights out and some kind of chicanery with Sting. There's lots of ways you could go with it, but I don't think this. Or look. I also think that because it's such a heated personal rivalry, I think the match could get thrown out. I think that there could be it could be a non-finish because they just fight, they take it outside the ring and it just becomes a fight. So I don't think we're going to see a pinfall on Sunday between Brock and Taker.
Can you do that in the main event of a show like this? Like this is like the main event. This is the match, as Paul Heyman said, is bigger, is too big for WrestleMania. So is that, I mean, I see where you're going with this, but is that feasible in this circumstance?
Yeah, look, I'm not the guy that's going to I know a lot of people get mad when there's a non-finish in the main event. I forget which recent pay-per-view did that, and everybody got really pissed off. I think it had to do right before WrestleMania, the Sting deal. But I don't know. I can't conceivably see Taker pinning Brock here.
Right.
But I also can't see Brock pinning Taker again because, you know, what, they got to build Taker back up for WrestleMania. I got in Texas, of all places, so... I don't know what you do.
Yeah, Andrew, I completely agree with you. And last week on the podcast, I said that I don't care who won. And after a week of thinking about it, I actually do care who wins because, like you said, neither guy can lose. But do you pin Lesnar and, you know, have that visual of him laying, you know, two pay-per-views in a row? Or do you pin Taker, have Lesnar beat him twice in a row? Yeah, he won at WrestleMania, but... I mean, no one, I don't think anyone remembers that.
Well, and people remember because it broke the streak, but you kind of doused the flames on Brock right now.
Over Bray Wyatt. Like, no one
No one remembers that, no.
So, like, you're right. I think they have to build him back up for WrestleMania, you know, in Texas. And the only way to do that, I think, is to give him that win over Lesnar. But I don't think Lesnar can be beaten either. Yeah, so I completely agree with you.
This is one of those circumstances where WWE kind of booked themselves into a corner just to get an attraction, just to hope to bring people in. The creatively is just it's kind of a mess. I mean, it's kind of weird. But so if Andrew's booking it, he'd have a schmaz, a shenanigans field finish, a non finish, which in this circumstance, I'm not even against really because right. You can't really pin either guy.
You know, they have the WWE network, so they think, you know, people are going to tune in anyway. It's only going to cost them $10. So if they get a schmaz finish, you know, it shouldn't be as
it's a good. It's a good mess to have. You have Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar, so it's going to be entertaining. I think you're going to get your money's worth. Are you going to leave disappointed because there's not a finish? I don't know. It depends on how good the rest of the card is. But at the end of the day, you get Brock and Taker, so I don't think it's an L for the company to end it in some kind of schmoz. But I could be wrong. They could put. I mean, if anybody can take a loss and recover, it's Brock. But he's basically undefeated since he's returned to professional wrestling. So,
yeah.
Is this the guy? Is this? Don't you want to save that equity for some young guy?
You would think.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the rest of the card. Let's get to the rest of the card, shall we? Let's get to it's not official yet. Let's make that clear. But it looks like, let's pretend that it is official, that John Cena will face Seth Rollins for title, WWE World Heavyweight title, and WWE United States title. Another kind of an odd circumstance in this match where do you want to put two titles on one guy? Do you want to give Cena his 16th title reign? Do you want to take the title off of Seth Rollins? Do you want to put both titles on Seth Rollins? What would you do with this match here if you were given the book, Mr. Goldstein?
I'm going to be super cynical right now and tell you that I think the clues have been laid out for us. If you know what to look for, that Cena is going over to become the 16-time, the tie Ric Flair's record, 16-time World Heavyweight Champion, because if you saw his new T-shirt, his new ugly-ass T-shirt on Tough Enough, his new, he's, you know, fighting off the Rock's colors from his Miami days. But anyway.
Very true. I thought Halloween.
Shirt, what, guys, what does the back of his new shirt say?
15 times. They don't
and
do that for nothing.
JBL said every time he comes out now, they talk about him being the 15-time World Heavyweight Champion, one win away from tying Ric Flair's, you know, iconic world title record. So, I think this whole, you know, half a year since Mania of building John Cena back up as somebody that the majority can root for and that the crowd is not split anymore and building up the U.S. title to mean something with the U.S. Open Challenge, I think you get to a point at SummerSlam where now is the time to give John Cena another world title win. And, again, it comes down to, can Seth Rollins survive it? Yes, absolutely. I think it just makes him even stronger of a heel to lose this match. And then now they've achieved building that U.S. title up to the point where John Cena's got both titles. Now he can relinquish the U.S. title. Now the tournament, or however you want to do it, the tournaments for the U.S. title going forward become the most important thing on the show.
Right. Now here's my thing, kind of playing devil's advocate. Now, I don't know if it's playing devil's advocate. I might be disagreeing. I don't know. My thing is that Cena is already, we've already seen Cena tap out Rollins. That's my thing. That visual is still very clear in my mind. And I was like, well, maybe they wouldn't have him beat him at SummerSlam again because he just tapped him out. Even though Seth Rollins had an excuse, oh, I felt sorry and all that, it still happened. And that shirt is very important because, like you said, it's had 15 times in the back. But then they have him win his 16th title. So that shirt is gone because he's not a 15-time champion anymore.
You can look at it that way. I just think, look, I'm also on the record as I've been saying this for 2 years now, that I don't ever need to see John Cena win another match. I mean, I just want to see him make people look like $1 million, like Ric Flair used to do. But right. I think the fact that they keep dropping those breadcrumbs, they wouldn't be mentioning the record if it wasn't something he was eventually going to beat.
Oh, you're 100% correct. You're 100% correct. Go ahead, Nick.
So,
is
this the time to do it? I think they're putting both titles on the line. What is Seth Rollins going to do with the U.S. title?
Nothing.
It's not going to mean anything. So I just think all signs point to John Cena going over Sunday. And but again, look, John Cena could go, or Seth could go over, and Sheamus could come out and cash in and become the world champion, and then Seth is the U.S. Like, there's all kinds of things. You know, they teased us with Sheamus, too. And that's basically reminding the people that, yo, this guy's got an active briefcase. This guy's got the money in the bank. So, I mean, that could be in play here, but I just, honestly, if I'm booking, I think this is it. Like, the most eyeballs, besides WrestleMania, sure, put John Cena over, give him his 16th title reign, and now the U.S. title means the most it's ever meant in its WWE history. And you go on and you get like 4 weeks of a fun tournament and get like the U.S. title now that means something on Cesaro or Owens or somebody cool like that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And the fact that you just brought up Sheamus, now do you think there's a possibility if Cena does win that Sheamus comes out, cashes in, beats Cena for the title, so now he's a 16-time world champion, so the next time he wins it, he actually breaks Ric Flair's record.
And he's still U.S. champion.
Yeah. I mean, that's a possibility.
I would say don't sleep on Sheamus.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say don't sleep on Sheamus cash in because they did just tease it. That's another breadcrumb. But my money, like I said, I'd say we get a John Cena pinfall.
And you know what? Like, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I would have not liked that. But the fact that Cena has had such a great run this year.
He has.
You know, I think he'll elevate that. I know Seth Rollins has done a good job with the title, but the fact that Cena's had such a great year.
Seth Rollins has done what he's could with that title, with the way he's been booked. He's done what he's could.
Yeah. I wouldn't be necessarily upset if Cena won, just based on the year he's had.
Okay, let's jump to the celeb match real fast. To the Stephen Amell from Arrow, who I don't watch that show. I never heard of it until WWE mentioned it. Excuse me. He's teaming apparently with Neville to go against Stardust and King Barrett because apparently King Barrett needs something to do. So they threw him in this match. What did you think of the angle Monday, and how would you... obviously, it looks like, I guess, from usually the celebrity angles, the celebrity wins. So I think we could all agree that Amell's going to win. But how about the angle Monday? Did you think the angle Monday played out well?
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like some kind of parkour champion. See, you're a guest.
I didn't mind that. I didn't think he should have taken Stardust down and just beat him up. I didn't think
he got his spine under that bottom rope.
Yeah.
So that annoyed me. But I will say the guy, look, in terms of celebrities getting involved, that was probably one of the better ones. But like in real life, if some dude pie faces you, are you gonna athletically hop over the wall and then athletically hop over the top rope? No, you're gonna like slide into the ring like the Rock and Roll Express coming down to save Dusty Rhodes. Like you're gonna there's an intensity there. So that was just like a nitpicky thing I didn't like about the angle. But otherwise, I think it's cool. I don't know how many people watch Arrow, but this guy's on the come up. It's a superhero tie-in. Stardust is, it is what it is. I'm trying to give Cody the benefit of the doubt because he's committing Foster's father and the whole thing. So if this guy, if this puts Cody on a better stage and more eyeballs on him and gets Stardust over, maybe, then yeah, I'm all for it. I will say Neville next to Triple H,
not a good visual.
Backstage promo made Neville look like it just made him look like an indie guy.
Yeah, like the week after his championship match with Seth Rollins, too. You know,
he looked really short. He looked really short. It was like, oh god, there's no way this guy's ever winning a major title.
Well, it's because he is. He's like 5'8", and Triple H is legit like 6'4", 6'5". So give him some stilts or something.
It's like the David. If you listen to Cheap Heat, it's the masked man rule of put. Yet nobody's a contender until you see them next to Randy Orton, and then you can actually tell if they're legit or not. Like, yeah. Even Kevin Owens in face-to-face with Randy Orton, you're like, whoa, Kevin Owens looks like a jabroni next to Randy. So, you know, Randy's 6'5", 250, so.
Right.
Anyway, getting off track, I don't really know what's going to happen in this match. I think it depends if they want to continue this Stephen Amell Stardust thing. Honestly, you know, Neville and King Barrett are purely in the match to work, so Stephen Amell doesn't have to. But I think Stephen Amell will look like $1 million at the end. He'll probably get the pinfall, and we'll get the rubber match, maybe a singles match by the time that they wrestle again. Mm. You'll get that rubber match at the next pay-per-view or the next big pay-per-view down the line, Survivor Series.
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, I think this does a lot more for Stephen Amell than it does for WWE, because right, he's just not that, not nothing against him. It's just that Arrow's not that big of a show. I don't really know who he is that much. He's apparently a big wrestling fan. That's great. I'm glad he's a big fan. He's living out his dream. He's got a SummerSlam match out of it. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, this is what happens with WWE and wrestling. So we'll move on. You got any more thoughts about that?
I actually think that the fact that Amell jumped over the ropes on Raw made it, you know, kind of justifiable for a casual wrestling fan to look at this guy and go, you know, maybe he can go in the ring. He's not just an actor. He's very athletic. But to have him pin, which, you know,
actors, it's going to happen, though.
It's going to happen.
That's a given.
It's not, they, like you said, they booked themselves into a corner. They have Amell. I don't see how they let him lose.
Well, he's not going to lose. But let's move on to, we talked about these guys a little bit earlier. Owen Cesaro, that's going to be made official on SmackDown tonight, according to the spoilers. So we're going to get that one-on-one, Kevin Owens versus Cesaro. This is another strange one where we have two guys who really can't lose at this point. I mean, Cesaro was on his way up as a babyface. So was Owens as a heel. I mean, I think they're going to have a great match, fantastic match. I think they're helping each other with the way this match has been built. I think they're helping each other, but who wins this match, Andrew? I can't really wrap my head around it just yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard when you're a fan because you don't want to see either of these two dudes lose, because I think the majority of the fans like us, the smart fans, we love both guys. They're both indie dudes. They're both, you know, tremendous workers. They're both Ring of Honor alumni. So it's amazing that, like, this match is taking place in a WWE ring.
That's very true.
But somebody's got to lose. I also think the fact that Randy Orton's not in a match on Star is pretty, suspicious. So I wouldn't be surprised if Randy Orton gets involved, or they eventually make it a three-way. Maybe they make it a three-way on the night of, because Randy Orton can take the pin, and then neither of those guys lose it. So right. I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens down the road. But, I don't know. I think either guy can survive the loss. There's ways to get your heat back, especially if when that U.S., you know, when that U.S. title goes up for grabs after the main, you know, going forward, which probably is going to happen once either Rollins or Cena gets it. I think either of these two guys are right in line to win that. So even if they lose the match, I think down the road one of them is going to become the U.S. champion.
Right, you can have like the person who wins this, the person who loses this match eventually win the U.S. title, and you kind of like, I know it's like 50-50 booking almost, but right, it kind of evens it out.
So they specialize in now.
Oh yeah, but yeah. All right. Yeah. The last thing we want to cover.
Just on that point, did you guys, the open to Raw was just so interesting because it's like 2 years ago, if you would have told me that Kevin Steen, Tyler Black, Claudio Castagnoli, and Randy Orton would be in the opening segment, in a, like a 12 to 15 minute opening segment of Raw, I would have told you that Vince McMahon, you know, had a heart attack and somebody else is running the company.
Right. He's in hospice.
I would never have seen that happening.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. Like, where's The Miz? Where's where's Randy Orton? Where's Sheamus? Where's
and the fact that they're entertaining, too. It's not just, okay, we're going to go give you a shot. I mean, they're actually connecting with the audience now.
That's what they're
doing. For all the talk, and the talk is warranted for how well Triple H is doing with NXT and how well NXT is and what an amazing product that they're doing in the Performance Center, et cetera, and how it's the future of the business. The bottom line is the dudes that they're producing that are actually doing stuff on the main roster are the guys that have come from the indies. I mean, from Dean Ambrose all the way, you know, Reigns is really the only guy that they've created,
yep,
that they've molded, they've built. That's on the top of the card. Everybody else has come from the indies. So
I give you, you got to add Bray Wyatt to that list too. He's a guy that they've built. But that's it. It's like you said, Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt. But everybody else is guys have already were established, already have fan bases. Even guys in NXT like Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Sami Zayn, they already had fan bases coming in.
Exactly. There's just something like cartoon. There's just something innately cartoony about the guys that the WWE has produced. I mean, Sheamus is a cartoon. Roman Reigns is a cartoon superhero. Tyler Breeze is a caricature.
I like Tyler Breeze, though. You know, he's awesome. I like him.
I know, but like, what's this? Again, Tyler Breeze, like, really, what's Tyler Breeze really going to end up
right
doing on the main
roster? He's a mid-carder. He's not a main eventer.
Yeah, but you look at Steen, you look at Rollins, like, these dudes are ready-made professional wrestlers, and it's just a very interesting thing. I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm just saying right, it's interesting that WWE wouldn't be picking their own guys over these indie guys.
Well, you mentioned how, like, they build it kind of in a cartoony way. That's kind of how, like, Vince wants the company to be. He wants it to be like a Saturday morning cartoon. Like, look at how Hogan was built.
Yeah,
Hogan was a Saturday morning cartoon playing out every week. He was beating up it's like a weekly episodic Saturday morning cartoon where there's a new issue, he thwarts the issue, everybody goes home happy. That's how it was. They build up a bad guy, they build up One Man Gang or King Kong Bundy or Big John Studd. He beats him and the next episode happens. And that's pretty much how he likes it to happen. It's like he wants essentially to be like Captain Planet. Captain Planet was awesome, but that's a cartoon, obviously, you know? So we're going to get through one more match.
Anyway, that was a divert. I diverted the conversation. But
no,
like,
no.
You know, when you talk about Kevin Owens versus Cesaro, it's just like, it's amazing what at the point at which you should just be CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. Those were the only two dudes that broke through. And now it's just like, there's NXT, but Ring of Honor and New Japan are just like a feeder into the WWE now. It's really a fun time to be a wrestling fan.
Yes, it is. We're going to get through one more match on SummerSlam. We're going to probably get through some other stuff with you about just other stuff outside of WWE. But how are you feeling about this Divas Revolution? This quote-unquote Divas Revolution was not really a revolution at all. And how do you feel about this match they have booked? This looks like a trios match in Mexico. this nine-person.
Elimination, I believe, too.
Yeah.
I don't love the teams. I don't love this whole, like, there's these three teams. The teams don't really make sense. Like, okay, we're going to put Sasha Banks with the other two girls of ethnicity. Like, it's just so...
That's very true.
It's a new day.
And like we're gonna put like the three white girls together. It's just whack to me. Like I don't think they needed to come out and be made into these like full squad teams. Like, but that being said, that's the hand we're dealt with this Divas Revolution. I think it'll be an entertaining match. I think it's the Divas. They're not gonna get 20, 25 minutes. They're gonna get 15. They're gonna get 12 to 15. And there's nine girls in the match, so it's going to be everybody's finishing move, and that's about it. Unfortunately, because all these new girls can really work their butts off.
Yeah, it's almost like they're kind of like Sasha Banks and Charlotte. Like everything else is in their way because they're great. They can go out there and have a 20-minute match and tear the house down. But they got to deal with all these other moving parts like the Bellas and Alicia Fox and not to say Paige and none of those other girls aren't talented. They are talented, but it's just like at some point it's like, man, just get out of Sasha's way and let her do her thing, man. Just get out of her way.
I think WWE's thinking is, look, we're going to have a lot of eyeballs on SummerSlam.
Right.
Let's showcase this division. Let's not just do so you tune in, you see two girls in a match. Let's show the world that we have nine incredible female professional wrestlers on our roster. So I think that's the point, and they will eat, you know. But unfortunately, it's just going to be a hodgepodge of, you know, females in a match. But I'm on both sides of the coin. It's like I'd rather see a one-on-one, like a dope one-on-one match between, like, you know, Nikki Bella and Charlotte. But then I guess the larger point, which is let's showcase all nine of these girls
on this big show,
so this revolution gets over.
Right. I see. Obviously, this match is going to happen, you know, way it is. But I see I think the first of those NXT divas to break out, to break through, that they want to break through is clearly Charlotte. She's going to be the first one. Not to say that the other ones aren't going to break through, but I think they want her to be the first one to kind of get her own shine, and then they'll, you know, move the other ones up accordingly. But I think that maybe next month or maybe 2 months from now, I think she's your next Divas champion, actually. At some, maybe when after Nikki breaks AJ Lee's record, supposedly, but I think they want Charlotte to be that first one. And clearly, she's very talented, and she's Ric Flair's daughter, the whole thing. So I think that's where it's going in the short term. Do you kind of see that?
Just the question, if you could repeat it. Sorry.
Oh, it's all right. I was just saying, like, I think they have Charlotte as tabbed as the one to kind of break through of the three new girls, of Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte. I think they have Charlotte kind of tapped as the girl to break through first and get her own shine on her own. And I think that she's probably going to be the next Divas champion.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's the most equity already in Charlotte because of the Ric Flair tie-in. And the fact that, like, clearly the most athletic diva they've had in a very long time, and the fans love her. Obviously, Sasha Banks is, like, a phenomenal character, and she's got the whole package. But I think you're right. I think the emphasis right now has to be on Charlotte.
Yeah. But I agree with you as well that Sasha is probably got bigger upside than Charlotte. She can do it all.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can put Sasha Banks on commentary. You can put Sasha Banks in a talking, you know, like AJ Lee, like, you know, being GM of Raw. Like, she could do any job on the show. I don't think Charlotte is that strong like that. But in terms of the wrestling and like the title picture and like who is being emphasized in the ring right now, I think Charlotte is the chosen one.
Yeah, and I totally agree with both of you. I think Charlotte and Sasha Banks is going to be the next huge diva feud, kind of like Trish and Lita from the early 2000s. And that's something I'm really pumped up for because they're going to put on a series of amazing matches that the casual fans haven't seen yet. So
yeah, and they've been trumpeting that they want to main event the pay-per-view. I can see that happening with those two. And maybe, like, maybe, of course, not going to be like SummerSlam or WrestleMania, but like, what's the lesson when they have, like, Battleground? They'll do it for Battleground because who cares? You know, Fastlane.
Maybe even a TLC match.
Yeah, something like that. So, all right, Andrew, we appreciate you coming on, man. You've done a great job as usual, man. Tell people where they can find you at on social media and whatnot, man.
Thank you, gentlemen. And let me say again, congrats on the podcast. You know, you guys are my Philly boys. And thank you for bringing Wrestling Talk back to Philadelphia. Keep doing what you're doing. And I'm happy to come on whenever you need me. At AnsGold on Twitter, AnsGold. At AnsGold on Twitter. If you hit me up about wrestling, I'll most likely write you back. I usually live tweet Raw in the pay-per-views, so check me out for that. And on Instagram, it's my name backwards, at Goldstein Andrew. And check out Uncommon Sense, 11 p.m. on Friday night on MTV2.
There you go. And emphasize, Andrew is a Philly guy. Didn't mention
definitely
that.
Is, yeah.
You're a Temple grad, right, Andrew?
Say that again? Sorry.
You're a Temple grad, right?
I went to Temple class of 2000.
Yeah,
man.
Awesome.
He's a Philly guy. So
talking Philly wrestling.
Philly guy making waves out in this world of
that's right.
Sports and entertainment. So, all right, thanks,
Buck
man.
County, we represent.
We appreciate it, Andrew.
Thank you, gentlemen. Keep doing what you're doing.
We will. We will. And with that being said, we will be right back here on Wildfire Radio with more of the Straight Shooters podcast. We'll be right back. Back here on the Straight Shooters podcast on Wildfire Radio. As you just heard, we had Andrew Goldstein, a former WWE creative writer, television producer, guy who's got television shows on MTV2. He's doing a big. We just talked to him, our first guest on the Straight Shooters podcast.
Fantastic interview, by the way.
Yeah, thanks again to Andrew Goldstein. Goldstein. I always say it wrong. Sorry, Ange. I'm sorry. I apologize. Publicly apologize for messing up your name. But you're my guy. You know you're my guy. So thanks again to coming on and helping us out. And that was great stuff. Helped us book SummerSlam. Make sure you listen back to that when it becomes on demand. So we just talked about a ton of WWE stuff. Yep. We talked about pretty much as we possibly could.
Now we're going to switch gears.
Yeah, we're going to go to everything. Pretty much everything else is not WWE in the world of wrestling. We're going to start with a bit of a down note for the world of wrestling, and that was AAA's biggest show of the year this past Sunday night, Triple Mania 23, otherwise known as an unmitigated disaster. Unfortunately,
and we were both looking forward to it so much, and it just kind of let us both down.
Right, and it's unfortunate because I root for every wrestling promotion to do well. We both do. We want more wrestling promotions doing well on a large scale means the wrestling business as a whole is better, you know, and it proves that people not named Vince McMahon can run wrestling, can do a wrestling promotion. And I think that's what scares kind of television partners away from wrestling promotions, because they don't think that if you're not Vince McMahon, you're not able to do this right. So it sucked for AAA to have to go through all that, but we had to talk about it because it was what it was. It was horrible. And first off, we had to talk about the obvious, the elephant in the room, the technical issues. What in the world happened?
It's one thing to put on a pay-per-view for the first time in, like, all over the world. I think it was available in the U.S. and Canada for the first time.
On pay-per-view,
and,
yep.
You know, as a Mexican promotion, you want to go all out. You want to make sure that experience it goes smoothly, like there's no hiccups. There was nothing but hiccups, whether it be camera angles, audio production difficulty. We couldn't hear, you know, the audio at times. So there are not enough words to describe, like, the disappointment. Like, it's not like I'm not angry about it, but the fact that I feel bad for them because they had to do it. And, you know, it's their biggest show of the year, too. So imagine WrestleMania going off, you know, with
it would never happen, by the way. Never happen, because WWE, if the one thing they do
everything
right
covered.
Is production. They are a beast when it comes to production. And you see how good they are when other wrestling promotions can't quite measure up to that to that level. And it was a prime example.
WCW, you know, came pretty close to production value, but still, even in their darkest days, WWF, you know, had the production down pat.
For the most part, yeah. I've seen a couple shows where they were messing up too, but in their darkest days, I should say. Right. But it's almost inexcusable. And Court Bauer, he's working with AAA. He put out a podcast down on MLW. Pretty much a 7-minute apology. And I feel bad for the guy, because what else can you say we screwed up.
And we met these guys. You know, Court's a great guy. You know, he busts his butt. And the fact that he's got to deal with that, we feel bad for everyone involved. But it's also, you know, we watch on TV and we just think to ourselves, what is going on?
Yeah.
And
you paid money,
right,
at least to get good production, and you didn't get that.
And granted, you know, it was $20. It was, you know, kind of affordable for a wrestling pay-per-view in America.
That was
right,
a standard definition. High definition was 30.
Okay.
So you got
the standard.
You cheapo.
And you know what? I didn't even notice the difference. So.
You cheapo. Get out of here. Get in the high definition. You got a high definition TV, don't you?
Yeah.
Of course you do. It's 2015. Come on.
Then I watch everything in high def, so kind of, I guess, because I wasn't paying attention, you know, I got the standard definition.
Mm-hmm. You weren't paying attention, huh?
That's exactly what happened.
That's your story, and you're sticking to it. I highly doubt that, Mr. Pacone. I don't need to see this clearly. 1999. But apparently they outsourced a lot of the production aspects to a third-party company, which is not unusual.
Right.
And that company just wet the bed, man.
Like, have they had any experience in the wrestling industry before? Have they taped a wrestling show? Like, maybe not live, but,
even that's not the case. You still have properly running equipment.
Yeah, yeah.
You do sound checks. You do audio. Like,
you would think
we do sound checks.
We do.
We're not running in front of 20,000 people on pay per view in front of potentially millions of people
and
around the country.
We would do a better job than AAA if we were doing this in front of 20,000 people.
Of course, because we have competence. maybe that's part of the reason why. But on top of that, the content of the show itself wasn't that good. It wasn't like you were really missing anything. There were a lot of bad matches, slow, matches.
The Villanos were in, was that a six-man tag?
Yeah, it was like their retirement match.
Oh, man, like, they could barely move. Right. I felt bad for
They're
them.
Like in their 50s and 60s. Yeah. And they put them out there.
I remember one of the, I think it was on Nitro, Raven dropped one of the Vianos on his neck. And that's the only recollection I have of them. So until, you know, Sunday night where we watched Triple Mania, I don't know. There's no words I could use to describe that just because I need a dictionary.
It was so unfortunate, man. It's like I said, the show really wasn't good. A lot of stuff was overbooked. Even the last two matches were as good as they were. They were good. They weren't good enough to salvage the show, obviously, because was everything before that, which is not good. Even right. The trios match, the championship match, they put a cage and it just kind of constricted what those guys could do.
I did like the fact when they lowered the cage, they had the banners around, like the advertisements around.
Yeah.
And maybe that's some good way to make extra money, but that might have been the best part of that match.
But man, it's just a lot of crazy stuff. Like I said, the last two matches were good. I thought that, like I said, overbooked. They have heel and face.
Power.
Right.
Yeah, and that's probably what sold a lot of people on it. That's what sold me on it. You know,
right.
I tweeted out earlier Sunday that I bit the bullet, and I knew you would be happy that I ordered it.
And I was. So. But I felt bad by the end of the night.
I'm sitting there in my chair like, Vaughn made me pay for this.
I don't make you pay. I just recommended it. It's a recommendation.
Yeah, sure.
It's like a doctor. You can recommend something, but you don't have to do it. But I don't know. It's just, like I said, the last two matches were good, but kind of overbooked, where you have like a heel referee. And apparently that's what they do in Mexico. I don't know this because I don't follow it enough.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. It makes no sense to me because it has the propensity of having every single match be overbooked. And why would you want that in pro wrestling? Even if it's Mexico, maybe they do stuff differently in pro wrestling down there. Lucha Libre is like, I do enjoy it.
Right.
But to have two refs, one a good guy, one a bad guy, I don't really understand why they need to do that. So
I don't know. It's just a perk they have. It's just a little quirk, I should say. Not a perk, but a quirk they have.
To them, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then they had in the hair versus hair match, El Patron versus Cage, they had the seconds like outside the ring, and they were doing crazy stuff in the ring and involved in the match. It's like, make it a tag match if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Then you had the Mysterio Mysticis match, who's formerly Sin Cara in WWE, formerly Mystico. That match was good. It wasn't like mind-blowing.
Yeah, they built it as a dream match. You know, I guess the two biggest good guys in Mexican wrestling history, maybe.
Yeah, at least in the last 20 years or so. Yeah.
So, you know, that was the build. You know, that was the allure of that match. And it ended, you know, the ending was okay.
Yeah,
but
Mysterio went over.
What happened after the ending was kind of confusing.
Right, it was just, you had Mysterio and Sin Cara kind of shake hands. They're kind of like, oh, we like each other. Then Perros del Mal come down. They try to beat them up. They fight them off together. They're back to back. Yeah, we're going to beat you guys up. And then Sin Cara.
I mean, no, he's Kalisto's tag partner.
Right. That's a different guy. But Mysticis just inexplicably just turns on Mysterio after helping him.
Yeah.
And then joins the heel faction and Conan standing there watching his guy Mysterio get beat up.
Looking concerned, you know, like oh my God, what just happened?
Right. None of the baby faces help Mysterio. Then out of nowhere, he just makes a mask versus mask challenge, which is, that's going to be a big match
now. That's going to be good. That's going to be a big match.
Mask versus mask with Mysterio and Mysticis. That's going to be big. But then you just inexplicably cut off while they're beating up Mysterio.
Yeah, and Conan and his guys jump in the ring, start beating up Mysterio when they're looking, you know, concerned that he's getting beat up by Mysticis. And then you have the camera pan back and it's like moving towards the crowd as we see like them start beating Mysterio.
Like,
and it goes off the air. I don't think the announcers even mentioned it. They might have mentioned Conan getting in the ring and being like, what are they doing? I don't remember exactly.
They were like, hope to see you next time.
Exactly. And
as Rey Mysterio gets pummeled here, you know, in front of his wife and children.
I couldn't help but laugh. And maybe that might be like harsh to do. It's such a bad time for them production wise. Like, they couldn't have ended on a more sour note.
It was such a fitting end to that show.
It was, though. We're done. Hopefully, I know they're talking about having another pay-per-view, and that's going to be available in America and
I
Canada.
Don't know,
but,
man.
You know, they need to do a better job. They got to be like Andy Reid. They got to do a better job.
You got to do a better job. That's on me. Got to do a better job. Yeah, time's yours. that was really bad. Like I said, we feel bad. We're not trying to make fun. It's just...
No, it's...
It sucked to have that happen.
Yeah, so hopefully they get a second chance and they make the most of it.
Yeah, I hope so too. And but sometimes first chances are the first impressions are the only ones. Yep. You know, that's
You're not going to get, you know, so many people to come back.
Right. They you know, a lot of people gave him a chance, I would assume, and it didn't go so well. But that's Triplemania, the unfortunate unmitigated disaster that it was. But we still have other promotions. We have NXT, which the main thing coming out of that this past week was Bayley as number one contender officially for the
Sasha's women's title.
Yep.
And that's going to be in Brooklyn.
Right. Yeah. Which is sold out with more than 13,000 people.
That is going to be awesome.
That's insane.
It is insane. For NXT, obviously their biggest, you know, show to date. And just to have that visual of the arena being filled with the NXT banners and just...
For NXT?
It shows how much it's grown and how great it is. Right. People are noticing.
And it also shows that Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, that style of production, that style of booking, that style of presentation can make money.
It works. And it's under their banners. Right. So it's like they can see it. They don't have to go somewhere else to see it.
Right. It's right here. Like NXT is a very simplistic, straightforward storytelling style, but it's still compelling.
Right.
They do things a lot differently than what the main product does. And it, obviously there's differences because there's 3-hour shows or 2-hour shows compared to a 1-hour show.
Yeah.
Different. But that style and the compelling stories week after week can make money. Like 13,000 people is money. I don't care how it happens. It's money.
And I know you need mic skills to get, you know, connect to the audience. But just the way they wrestle, like the matches all tell a story. And yes, that's important, but the audience gets so behind these wrestlers, like women or men.
Because they tell their stories. They tell their real stories.
Like I said, that's what I need in pro wrestling. I need a storyline that makes sense. I need matches to make sense. If some guy hurts his knee and he's not selling, you know, that's going to sour me a little bit on a match. These guys and girls sell like, you know, they're dying in the ring, which I think connects to the audience even more.
Yeah, so that's... NXT Brooklyn's going to have Bayley versus Sasha Banks for the women's title. That's going to be amazing. And it's more than likely going to be the coronation for Bayley.
Yeah, I would hope so. And, sure. We have Kevin Owens, too, going after the NXT championship against Finn Balor.
In a ladder match.
In a ladder match. And I don't think, you know, he'll win. But his interview was very good in the fact that he said he didn't want any, you know, refs to, you know, interfere, to mess him up. So I think something's going to happen because Owens is a main roster guy now. He doesn't need the NXT title. So
What I don't like is that the fact that Big Cass and Enzo Amore aren't going to win the tag titles in New York because they're the New Yorkers.
And
that sucks. And they deserve to be NXT tag champions. And they're literally the best tag team they have down in NXT. But maybe they're getting moved up to the main roster. I don't know. Yeah. But
Maybe that could be their farewell match, you know, in NXT, you know. The indies love that. You know, NXT, for all intents and purposes, is looked at as an indie organization by fans just because they do so much differently than WWE does. So I could see that being like a farewell match to where the fans, you know, throw their streamers in the ring.
The streamers in America?
Yeah.
And WWE.
I bet you NXT fans in Brooklyn will bring them.
We'll see.
Unless they give it to them, you know, at the door.
Place they do throw streamers is Ring of Honor.
They do.
That's a good segue, right? You like that segue.
You're but a master at that.
Ring of Honor, they had their television show. I mean, good solid show.
You wrote a review on that on Philly.com.
Yes,
so,
I do.
So what do you, and it's hard for me to get, you know, emotionally invested in that just because we talked about last week. It's kind of like a week-to-week show. Like, storylines don't always...
This week they actually had storylines where pretty much every match was connected to a storyline, and I thought it was good. You had the tag title match with War Machine and the House of Truth, and Hanson is screaming at Jay Lethal because Hanson and War Machine is the next contender for the television title for Jay Lethal. So that was decent stuff. Then you had the Adam Page calling out Jay Briscoe. Then you had BJ Whitmer getting the face of Steve Corino. Both good pieces of business there. Then you had the Kingdom stuff with Adam Cole stopping the Kingdom from beating up Bobby Fish after the match. So more dissension in the Kingdom. Good matches, some good stories, development. You know, wasn't nothing out of the, like, groundbreaking or mind-blowing, some good stuff. And you had a good opening match with ACH and Watanabe, all within an hour. So I like their efficiency.
And that's something, too. Like, if they do well with that hour, do you think they'll expand to 2 hours? Do you want them to expand to 2 hours? Because sometimes
I think 2 hours would be ideal, but I don't think they will. They're so disjointed. I don't know if 2 hours will work for them anyway. Right. I think 1 hour is just perfect for them right now. But TNA Wrestling has 2 hours every week.
Unfortunately.
Another good segue by me. And yeah, unfortunately they do. And they don't really do a whole lot of wrestling. They do a lot of talking.
Like we agreed, the wrestling is good. Like they always have good matches. They always have good matches that tell a story most of the time. But we had a Global Force Wrestling and TNA kind of war going on last night.
Yeah, and it's almost like Jeff Jarrett and Global Force are like the baby faces almost.
I totally don't understand that.
Young came out and he's like representing TNA, but Eric Young is one of the top heels in TNA. Right.
And he's doing a great job in TNA heels.
And Jeff Jarrett has been cheered since the day he came back to TNA. So who's going to get cheered and who's going to get booed?
Yep.
Global Force is going to get cheered and TNA is getting booed. It's like
at their own show. Like,
right.
This is just like the WWF invasion where WWF was hosting, you know, the shows and WCW and ECW were, you know, invading them. But they were the heels, so it made sense. You know,
that was the only thing that made sense.
If Global Force was hosting the event, they should be the faces. You know, if TNA is invading, it would make more sense that way. But we're talking about TNA. So
the big problem is that nobody cares about this invasion. Yeah, this is an invasion that nobody wanted to see.
And you know, a couple months ago, we heard rumblings that they might have this happen. It wasn't, you know, set in stone. And now the fact that we're seeing it on TV, TNA versus GFW, it's leaving a lot to be desired.
It's just who really wanted to see this? Global Force Wrestling is barely a thing.
Maybe they need the exposure.
They do. They desperately need the exposure.
They did TV tapings in July, I think, in Las Vegas. So I think they're still looking for a TV deal. Destination America, probably.
Then TNA needs exposure. They're trying to help each other. I get it, but
it might be the wrong partner to try and.
And this invasion thing, I just don't like the invasion thing. Nobody's buying into this, so that's that. And our final segment here before we get out of here, we're gonna have our little weekly segment of Dirt Sheet Dialogue. Well, we don't necessarily bash every Dirt Sheet report that comes out. We just pick one and kind of like discuss it.
Sometimes analyze it, sometimes overanalyze it. But this time,
typically overanalyzing.
We feel pretty strongly about what we're about to talk about. So we have Sheamus, who, you know, we haven't seen him in action the last 2 weeks. So there's no rumblings going around that he has a concussion. WWE's keeping quiet, but there's no evidence. You know, we go back and watch, you know, the match that he supposedly had the concussion in. You don't see it happen. So now, but you have him take a bump on Monday Night Raw when apparently he has a concussion.
He took a bump where his head is like the main focus of the bump in the RKO.
So you're saying he has a concussion, but then you just see him on Raw that, you know, he took an RKO. So does he have a concussion?
He's not taking the RKO if he has a concussion.
Agreed.
That's number one. Number two, WWE would be foolish at this point in time where they have lawsuits just coming at them from every angle about concussions to lie or keep quiet about a concussion. Mm-hmm. And it just, I don't know, it just wouldn't make any sense to me that that would be the case. I mean,
you know,
Alicia Fox apparently had a concussion. She's in the ring a week later.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe some people heal quicker from concussions than others. That happens. But you got Daniel Bryan, who's still out. They won't clear him because of a concussion. He's been cleared by independent doctors.
Yep.
But WWE has not cleared him yet because they're just being that cautious. You can't blame him, even though I want to see Daniel Bryan. But hey, they don't want to be responsible for this guy messing up his brain.
And they should feel that way. You know,
right.
Like, there's nothing in it for them to clear him so he can go out and wrestle when, you know, it's not going to make much of a difference. So, yeah, the fans are going to cheer. He's not going to be in the main event picture. He's not a part of a major storyline.
Not at this moment, no. They don't need him necessarily. Right. He'd be nice to have. I love Daniel Bryan. I want him back.
Yeah.
Come back, please, Daniel. But I guess in WWE's eyes, they're okay for right now without him.
Right, yeah. And, you know, come back. When he does come back, hopefully he wins the Intercontinental title again. I would have liked to see that play out.
Does he come back in the Royal Rumble again?
If that happens,
and he doesn't win,
but if they keep it a surprise and they don't, you know, mention it, you know, I think it was 2 weeks in advance last time, you know, just have it as a surprise, man. Like, the people are gonna go crazy if he comes back at the Rumble,
and they're gonna go crazy if he doesn't win for the third year in a row.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. You better come
back. As soon as he's eliminated, I'm sure everyone in attendance will
don't
do
let
it,
Daniel,
like we did in January.
Right, don't let Daniel Bryan anywhere near the Royal Rumble.
That's true.
Don't let him near it.
Unless you have some type of storyline that has him winning the championship at WrestleMania.
Which they will not.
They will not happen. Yeah, keep him out.
Right, but this Sheamus concussion thing, it's a weird thing. Because
it's almost like a foregone conclusion now that he does have one. I don't understand. Like, they haven't talked to doctors. They haven't talked to...
Of course,
you know, no one's confirmed anything to them. They're just looking at their sources. It's like me looking at you. It's like, oh, yeah, like it looks like you have a concussion. I'm going to go tell Dave Meltzer that, you know, you have a concussion. He's going to report it as fact, you know?
Like, dude, you think they're going to, like, this ain't the NFL where you can get, like, official injury reports.
Yeah,
you know?
Nothing's
so
public.
So, of course, they're not. None of these things are confirmed. For the most part, these things aren't confirmed. Now, they get some of these right.
They do.
But they get some wrong, and that's not good in real journalism. Right. Your batting average can't be 500.
Yeah.
That's great in baseball.
Yeah.
It's astronomical in baseball, but that's not good enough.
Not in journalism.
In journalism. You got to be like 999, pretty much.
That's good.
You know what I'm saying? You got to be that good. So you got to be that accurate. So that's Dirt Sheet Dialogue.
Yeah.
Any of the other last thoughts before we get out of here?
I'm looking forward to having Lesnar and Taker face-to-face at Monday night. We'll actually be keeping tabs on SmackDown tonight. I'll be writing a review on PhillyVoice.com. So we'll have that for you tomorrow morning. And other than that, you know, I'm just waiting until SummerSlam, man. I'm pumped for it.
I'm pumped for it, too. Also, you got the SmackDown recap coming out. Already out on Philly.com is a very lengthy feature I wrote about Finn Balor. I got to interview him a couple days ago.
Awesome.
Great interview. He is very kind of shy, introverted. He's admitted that, but he's a great interview. And
did you get him to spell anything good?
I think so. Got to read the link to find out.
We'll read it on Philly.com.
Yeah, the Squared Circle blog. And where can they find you on social media, Nick?
I'm at Nick Pacone on Twitter, and we have our Shooters Radio handle on Twitter as well.
At Shooters Radio.
So follow us. Tell everyone about us. You know, this is our second episode, but we plan on doing this for a long time. And how about you, Vaughn?
At Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter. And we have a Facebook as well. It's facebook.com/The Straight Shooters. Again, you can listen to us here on Wi-Fi Radio every single Thursday.
Thursday.
We'll be 6:30. Back.
30.
Yep, we'll be back. Or somewhere around about 6:30. 6:30.
631.25.
Yeah, so somewhere around there. We'll be check on us about 6:45. We'll be on air. But
we'll always have our podcast available the next day. So just make sure that you tune in. Go to wildfireradio.com. Look for our page, The Straight Shooters, and all our podcasts will be listed. So that's all I got.
Yep. Again, thanks to Andrew Goldstein for joining us on the podcast today. Great stuff, Andrew, as usual.
He's the man.
Yes, he is the man. And thanks for listening this week. We'll be back next week with more Straight Shooters Radio on Wildfire Radio.
See you.